Srimad Bhagavatam,
second canto, chapter 10,
text 42.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sa
Sa
Evedam
Evedam
Jagat
Jagat
Dhata
Dhata
Bhagavan
Bhagavan
Dharma
Dharma
Rupadhrik
Rupadhrik
Pushnat
Pushnat
Sthapayan,
Sthapayan
Visham,
Visham
Tirjan,
Tirjan
Nara,
Nara
Suradibhi
Sa Evedam
Jagadhata
Bhagavan Dharma Rupadhri
Pushnati Sthapayan Visham Tirjang Nara Suradibhi Sa Evedam Jagadhata
Bhagavan Dharma
Rupadhri Pushnati Sthapayan Visham Tirjang Nara Suradibhi Sa Evedam Jagadhata Bhagavan Dharma Rupadhri Pushnati Sthapayan Visham Tirjang Nara Suradibhi
Sa Evedam Jagadhata
Bhagavan Dharma Rupadhri
Pushnati
Sthapayan Visham
Tirjang Nara Suradibhi
Matajis.
Sa Evedam Jagadhata
Sa Evedam Jagadhata
Bhagavan Dharma Rupadhi
Bhagavan Dharma Rupadhi
Pushnati Sthapayan Visham
Pushnati Sthapayan Visham
Tirjang Nara Suradibhi
Tirjang Nara Suradibhi
Saha
Saha
He Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Jagadhata.
Jagadhata.
The maintainer of the entire universe.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Dharma Rupa Dhrik.
Assuming the form of religious principles. Pushnati maintains, Sthapayan, after establishing, Visham, the universes, Tirjak, living entities no lower than human beings, Nara, human beings, Sura Adibhi, by the demigodly incarnation. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universes, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the human, non-human, and the demigods. Please repeat. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus, he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion. And such activities of the Lord are not limited only to human society. He incarnates himself even as a fish, hog, tree, and many other forms. But less intelligent persons who have no knowledge of him deride him, even if he is in human society as a human being. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Abhujananti mang mudha manushim tanumashritam parang bhavam ajananto mamo bhuto maheshwaram. As we have already discussed in the previous verses, it is concluded that the Lord is never a product of the material creation. His transcendental position is always unchanged. He is the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and he executes his almighty will by his different energies. As such, he is never the subject of reactions for any of his acts. He is transcendental to all such conceptions of actions and reactions. Even if he is visible in the material world, the exhibition is only of his internal energy, for he is above the good and bad conceptions of this material world. In the material world, the fish or the hog may be considered lower than the man, but when the Lord appears as a fish or hog, he is neither of them in the material conception. It is his causeless mercy that he appears in every society or species of life, but he is never to be considered one of them. Conceptions of the material world, such as good and bad, lower and upper, important and insignificant, are estimations of the material energy, and the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all such conceptions. The words param bhavam, or transcendental nature, can never be compared to the material conception. We should not forget that the potencies of the Almighty Lord are always the same and do not decrease because the Lord assumes the form of a lower animal. There is no difference between Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and his incarnations as a fish or a hog. He is all-pervading and simultaneously localized at any and every place. But the foolish person with a poor fund of knowledge, for want of the param bhavam of the Lord, cannot understand how the Supreme Lord can take the form of a man or a fish. One compares everything to one's own standard of knowledge, as the frog in the well considers the sea to be like the well. The frog in the well cannot even think of the sea, and when such a frog is informed of the greatness of the sea, it takes the conception of the sea as being a little greater than the well. As such, one who is foolish about the transcendental science of the Lord will find it difficult to understand how Lord Vishnu can equally manifest himself in every society of living entities. Sa evedam jagan dhata Bhagavan dharma rupa dhrik Pushnati sthapayan vishyam Tirjang nara suradibhi. He, the personality of Godhead as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans and the demigods. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator and he is also the maintainer. He creates, he maintains, and he also destroys. That is his supreme position. Now, creation is of course important, but more important than creation is the maintenance. Creation is easy, maintaining is difficult. And then destruction is even easier. We see that, like a tree takes so many years to grow. A tree that grew for thousands of years. There are trees that are 5,000 years old, 6,000 years old. There are some redwood trees in California. They're more than 5,000 years old. But then, to cut the tree, to destroy the tree, how long does it take? One can take a bandsaw, and then in 1 minute, it'll be finished. So creation and maintenance is the important aspect. The material nature has been created. And one should consider, like, who created? Actually, that's the fallacy of the modern science. They're claiming that creation is a matter of accident. Actually, it is only a fool who will think that way, that creation can take place as an accident. If somebody says that this glass was created, if somebody says that this was created out of accident, will anybody believe that? Will anybody believe that this was created out of accident, this glass? Will anybody accept that this watch was created out of accident? Will anybody accept that this building was created out of accident? Will anybody claim, can anybody say that there was an explosion and this building appeared? But the so-called scientists, what they are saying, that this material nature has been created out of an accident. There was an accident, there was a big bang, or there was a primordial soup and this came into existence. Okay, the shape can come into existence, but what about maintenance? This nature is being maintained in such a beautiful way. The seasons are changing, the days are changing into night, and after the night, the days are coming. The seasons are changing. We know, like there was winter and it was cold, and now it's becoming hot. We know it'll happen. And we also know, and now that we are building, we know that we have to complete the work, cement work up to the plinth, the building that we are building here, before the middle of June, latest July. Why? Because in July the rain will start. We know that. Now, is it accident? How can you predict that the rain will start in July, beginning July? Because it's maintaining a very systematic order. Now, how does order come? Does order come out of accident? If a car has a dent, and if we let it run into an accident, if we let the car bang, run into the wall, the dent will become repaired? If my watch has some difficulty, it's not working properly, if I throw the watch against the wall, will it start working? Okay, let me throw you against the wall and let me see how you work sometime. So the intelligent thing, intelligent conclusion is to recognize that there is a creator and there is a maintainer. How the destruction will take place, let's not worry about it. Yes, from accident destruction can be there. So from accident what we can get is only destruction, not creation and maintenance. That's why Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mang mudha manushim tanumashri. Mudha. Mudha means fools. Fools. Mudha. Those who are, simple words, stupids. Those who are stupid. Those who are idiots. These are the expressions of mudha. Mudha means a stupid. Mudha means an idiot. Mudha means a loggerhead. So those who are mudhas, they cannot recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His inconceivable potency. Because they can't understand His param bhavam. They cannot understand His transcendental position. Because sometimes he appears as a human being. Manushim tarumashritam. They don't recognize his param bhavam, his transcendental qualities. On the other hand, what they think? That because God looks like a man, I can become God. Or I am God. Krishna looks like me. He has one head, two arms, two legs, and so do I have. So I can be God myself. I can be greater than Krishna. I can be greater than Krishna. Why Krishna should be treated as God? I am so much better than Krishna. Krishna was just a cowherd boy. I am a city boy. Krishna was tending cows, didn't even go to school. I went to the college and universities and got such a big degree. So this is their way of thinking. Ma avajananti mang mudha. Manushim tanumashritam. But param bhavam ajananto mamo bhuto maheshwaram. That I am the maheshwaram. Ishwara means controller. And I am the Maha Ishwara, supreme controller. I am the supreme, Ishwara means proprietor. I am the supreme proprietor. That they do not understand. They do not understand my inconceivable spiritual potency, my spiritual situation, and my position as the supreme proprietor and supreme controller. Because, why? Because they are mudhas. So it takes a mudha to become an atheist. It takes a mudha to become the competitor of God. What will an intelligent person do? What is the sign of intelligence? What will an intelligent person do? An intelligent person will think. And especially when he is provided with the informations, he will think, yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. There must be a creator, there must be a maintainer. And his creation is so wonderful. I may be proud of my creation, but look at how he is creating. We can just think about it. Simple consideration. A small little seed falls on the ground. Then what happens? From that seed, a tree comes out. And in that tree there are many fruits. Every year, different season, at appropriate season, fruits come in the tree. And inside the fruit, what do you get? You get seeds. And in the seed, there's a tree. In that tree, there are innumerable fruits. And in those fruits, there are seeds. And in those seeds, there are trees. Every seed has a tree. Now what kind of creation is this? Who can create something like that? Has any scientist in his laboratory have been able to create a thing like that? A seed? That will generate a tree, and in that tree there will be innumerable fruits, and in each fruit there will be a seed, and in that seed there will be a tree. So when an intelligent person thinks like that, what will be his conclusion? Vyas, what will be your conclusion? Yeah, it must be the creation of the Lord. That is how inconceivable the Lord's creation is. I may create a table, or I may create a kartal. Human beings can create things like that. But there are two kartals. If we put these two kartals together for 20 years, will a third kartal come out of this? No. But Krishna created the human beings, the animals, and a male animal and a female animal get together. What is the result? A third animal comes out. Right? A man and a woman get together, a child is born. Then the child grows up, gets married, and he gets together with his wife, and his children are born. Now how it is happening? Is it accident? Does it sound like accident? No. And this is how the Lord creates. And then we see another intelligent perception, like if we consider that we are eating food, right? It is going to the stomach. And then what is happening in the stomach? You know what is happening in the stomach? Those food, the cells of the foods are processed in such a way that it becomes our body cells. Cells of our body. It's absorbed in the body. And then the food again burns inside the thing, and the energy is generated, and that's why the body is functioning. Now consider every single body has so many different organs. Like we can see we have our brain, we have our lungs, we have our heart, we have our kidney, we have pancreas, we have intestine. Now every single organ, like kidney, what is kidney doing? Kidney is purifying the blood. And it's purifying the blood. Do you know something? Not a single factory has been made where impure blood can be purified in this way, the way kidney does, and put it back into the body. I mean, and revitalize the body. The blood is taking the energy. The blood is taking energy, life energy, and it is distributing throughout the body. There is a system called artery and vein. Through the artery, the blood is pumped out by the heart. Heart is a pump. It is pumping. When you pump, what happens? It goes out. Right? And it is going out. The blood is going out through the arteries. And what is the blood doing throughout the body? It is giving out the energy. And then, after giving out the energy, what happens? The blood becomes without energy. Then what happens? That blood through the vein comes back to the heart. And it gets recharged with energy. And again it goes out. This is how the system is going on. Through the artery and vein. Through the artery it is going out, and the blood, when the next batch of blood is pumped with the heart, by the heart, then the first group of blood through the vein comes back to the heart. Now, is it accident? Can such a thing happen out of accident? So real science is to understand that Krishna is controlling everything. Now, science, real science is to understand how Krishna, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling everything. That is the real intelligence. That's the real knowledge. Wow, how things are happening. And what is the ultimate conclusion? How Krishna is controlling. Krishna is not controlling things by himself. It is the living entities who are put into the body. And the living entities are generating the life energy. This life energy is causing the body, which is dead matter, to function. It is the life energy. Jivani Shakti is making the bodies function. And the bodies are functioning in such a wonderful way. In such an intricate way. And as long as the soul is in the body is functioning. In such a wonderful way. Then all of a sudden, everything stops in the body. The body that had been functioning for 60, 70, 80 years, all of a sudden, all the organs of the body stops. All of it, all the organs stop, all of a sudden, simultaneously. Why is that? What will be the intelligent answer to that? Because the one who was making the body function, he left. Isn't it? Isn't that an intelligent conclusion? Like a machine, a very complex machine is running. When the operator leaves, what happens? The machine stops. He switches off the machine and goes on a leave. Goes home. Similarly, the soul in the body is making the body run. Then what will be the conclusion? This body is actually a machine. This body is a machine. And who is running the machine? Who is the operator of that machine? The soul. And who is the soul? The soul is me. All of us, when we say I, we are identifying the soul. Now the question comes, where does the soul come from? What is the nature of the soul? And these are the questions, the inquiries that will lead us to proper understanding, provided we can approach the right person. And the right person is the teacher who gives us the information. Like if you become interested about knowing about something, what do you do? Like for example, if you want to find out when the train will, you want to go to, say, Bombay. What do you do? Don't you phone up the station and ask them, can you please tell me when the trains are coming to Bombay? I want to go to Bombay. Or do you spend 25 days in the railway station to find out which trains are coming and which trains are going? If you do that, that means you are not intelligent. If you think that you will find out yourself which trains are coming, which train will go to Bombay, or you each train comes and you get into the train thinking, let me see whether it will go to Bombay. No, instead of going to Bombay, the train takes you to Madras. Then you think that you get into a train in Madras thinking that that train is going to take you to Bombay. But that train takes you to Calcutta. Then you get into another train thinking that that will take you to Bombay. And that train takes you to Mizoram. So this is not the way, this is not the intelligent way to find out. What is the intelligent way to find out? To approach a person who knows the authority. Why do you call the railway station? Because we know that they are the authority. They know which trains are coming at which time. So similarly, if we want to know about the spirit soul and its nature and where it comes from, everything about the spirit soul, we simply have to go to a person who knows about that subject. And you hear from him. And when you hear from him, then what happens? We get the informations. And then to substantiate his teachings, what does he do? And to facilitate us to learn, he gives us the books. So read this book. He speaks on the authority of the book and he teaches us on the basis of the book. Like Bhagavad Gita, one of the first things, scripture that we study is Bhagavad Gita. And in Bhagavad Gita, what do we find? We find that there is the body, and at the beginning, very beginning, we find that there is a body and there is the owner of the body. Sharira is the body, and Shariri, the owner of the body. Deha, the body, Dehi, the owner of the body. Dehi nashmin jatha dehe, dehi na ashmin jatha dehe. Dehi, the owner of the body. And who is the owner of the body? We get the information. What's the quality of the owner of the body? We get to know about the quality of the owner of the body. What is the quality of the owner of the body? Everybody's body. Everybody has an owner. Your bodies have your owners, the body's owners. I have the owner of my body. Now what's the quality of that owner? The quality of the owner is he is never born. Na jayate mriyate vahadachin. The owner of the body is never born. Birth is the owner's acceptance of a new body. That is called birth. The owner of the body doesn't die, doesn't take birth. Nor does he ever die. The body may be cut with a weapon, but the owner of the body cannot be cut. The owner of the body cannot be burnt. The body may be drowned in water, but the owner of the body will not be drowned in the water. And who is that owner of the body? What is the name of the owner? The soul. And where does the soul come from? The soul doesn't come from here. Soul came from somewhere else. And in this way we get informations about the soul. the soul's nature, soul's characteristics, soul's residence. And then in this way we get to know also what is this material nature. What is this material nature? How the material nature is being controlled? How the bodies are functioning? All those informations are there. The bodies are functioning. How is it functioning? How is the body moving? Why the body is experiencing pleasure and pain? Suffering and distress? Then the information is there because of its previous action. And how those actions are being controlled? There are three modes in the material nature. Those modes, the controller of the modes, are actually giving the results of their karma. And in this way, in this nature, although individuals are thinking that they are the doers, but they are not the doers. The doers are, who is making things happen? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In this material nature, prakrite kriyamanani happening, gunai karmani sarvasa. Everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma. One acts in different modes and the reaction will be there. And then we get other, more informations. Who are controlling these guna and karmas? The demigods. Therefore have a congenial relationship with the demigods. And what should be the relationship with the demigods? Who are those demigods? They are the agents of Krishna. Okay, I'll come to that afterwards. Krishna we haven't come as yet. We have come up to the demigods only. What are the demigods? They are the controllers of different affairs of the material nature. Now if you get some facilities, don't you have to pay the bill for that? Like you are getting the light here, electricity. Why the light is lit up? Because of electricity. Right? Where the electricity is coming from? It is being supplied by the department called Electric Supply Department, the government. And at the end of the month, what happens? We get a bill. So we have to pay the bill. If we don't pay the bill, supply won't be there. Different demigods are controlling different affairs of the material nature, the facilities that we are getting. Therefore, we have to pay to the demigods. And those payments are called, what is the name of this payment? They are called sacrifice, yajna. So, these yajnas, now the department takes the yajna, but what do they do? The electric supply department has collected the bill, collected the money. Now, the head of the electric supply department, does he consider that it is his money and he enjoys it? Enjoys with that money? Does he do that? No. What does he do? He gives it to his authority, the state government. Right? And in this way, who is the final authority? The final authority is Krishna. The demigods are simply his appointed agents. So they are actually collecting the sacrifice. But the result of the sacrifice is going to Krishna. Therefore, all the facilities that we are getting, we have to pay. We have to pay for those facilities. And the best way, especially for this age, to pay to the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Proprietor. And the Supreme Proprietor is our dearmost friend and the Supreme Well-Wisher. Now, Bhaktarang Yajna Taposam, although we are paying him the yajna, through the yajna, through the sacrifice, and he is the Supreme Enjoyer, and he is also the Supreme Proprietor. Bhaktarang Yajna Taposam, Sarvaloko Maheshwaram, he is the proprietor of everything. And at the same time, he is Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the dearmost friend of everyone. Gyatva Maam Shantim Rishyati. In this way, one can become peaceful. So if you want to be peaceful, what do you have to do? You have to pay the bill. If you don't pay the bill, then what will happen? You won't be peaceful. At least. There won't be any electricity, there won't be any water, there won't be anything. And the result will be, you'll be in a terribly miserable condition. So if you want to be peaceful, then what should you do? Pay the bill through yajna. And what is the yajna for this age? Harinam. So how do you pay your bill? Simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Is it a very difficult thing to understand? And you, those who are chanting, what do you see? When you started to chant, prior to that, before you started to chant, what was your condition? Was your condition very peaceful before you started to chant? Before you started to chant? Who was peaceful before you started to chant? But after you started to chant, what happened? After you started to chant, bolo?
Happy.
Okay, Ganga Narayan. For everybody, he just announced. So became happy?
Yes.
After chanting? Do you have any problem?
No.
The problem will start. Yes, problem will be there. If you don't chant properly, then there will be problem. If you have problem, that means you are not chanting properly. Either you are not chanting at all, and if you are chanting, then it's not chanting. It's something else. Do you remember the... it was... Who was giving the class? Was it
Pralhadananda
Maharaj? Did he show how? What is the way of defective chanting? Who remembers? How was it? There are many kinds of... But the pure chanting is... chant nicely, offering your prayers to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Not only uttering the sound, but what's the state of your heart? How you're saying that? How you're saying that? Krishna, please allow me to love you. Krishna, please allow me to express my gratitude for you. Krishna, please allow me to serve you. Krishna, I'm suffering in this material nature. And it's only your lotus feet that can deliver me from the suffering condition. With that mood, with that feeling, with that attitude, we have to chant. And then what will happen? We'll recognize, when we start chanting like that, you will notice, we don't even have to read so much. We don't have to read so much. It will happen, the understanding will come. We'll recognize, oh Krishna, you are the supreme creator. You are the supreme maintainer. Whatever I'm getting is because of your mercy. I am breathing. Where is this oxygen coming from? You supplied it, Krishna. Oh Krishna, you are so kind. The food that I am eating, where does the food come from? It's coming as your mercy, Krishna. So while I am eating the food, because I need it, to maintain my body, I need the food. And this food has been so mercifully supplied by you. It is nothing but your mercy. It is your prasad. Prasad means mercy. Everything is Krishna's prasad. Everything is Krishna's mercy. And Krishna has given so much. We may complain, oh Krishna, you didn't give me money. Krishna didn't give me a palace. Hey, Krishna, you didn't give me a big car. Krishna, you didn't give me so many things. We may complain, but if we consider how much Krishna has given, do we consider that, how much Krishna has given? Every moment we can recognize how much Krishna has given to us. How many times we eat every day? That's why their prayer, Krishna Varadayamai, Kori Varajiv Bhajai, Shaprasad Anna Dilabhai. Do you make the prayers? Do you understand what he's saying? And we should not just offer the prayer only at the beginning of taking prasad. While we are taking prasad, we should meditate on the prayer. Krishna Varadayamai. Oh, it's tasting so nice. Kori Varajiv Bhajai. Shaprasad Anna Dilabhai. And Shai Anna Mrita Pao? Yes, Radha Krishna Gunagao. And that Radha Krishna Gunagao is Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And what is the result? The result is, तुम कुछ बोलने चाहता था, तुम हाथ उठाया था, कुछ बोलना है? You have peace, only peace, happiness, केवल शांति मिला या सुख भी मिल रहा है? अच्छा, आनंद मिलता है, मिलता है. Very good. ये सब की यही बात है. ये भगवान की सेवा, भगवान की भक्ति करने के पहले हमारा जीवन एकदम एकदम बेकार था. इट वॉज कंप्लीटली यूजलेस. राइट, वी आर सफरिंग, वी आर सफरिंग. एंड इन ऑर्डर टू एंजॉय वी आर बिहेविंग इन सच स्टूपिड वे. वी आर ऑल बंच ऑफ जोकर्स एंड वी आर ट्राइंग टू एंजॉय जस्ट लाइक अ क्लाउन डज. Trying to make others happy. What does a clown do? He acts like a fool in order to make others happy. And what, that was our situation, like a bunch of clowns. We are acting like a stupidos. And thinking that we'll, by doing that, we'll make ourselves happy, others happy. But the result was, everybody was laughing at us. Oh, look at the clown, look at the joker. But now we have come to the right platform. Now we have come under the shelter of Krishna and his pure devotees. We have come to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and he made such a wonderful arrangement. We all have to do is just step into this arrangement, and we have to submit ourselves. And the result will be, our life will become blissful. And what is Prabhupada doing? Prabhupada has created a beautiful boat to take us across the material nature. And in the boat we are having a beautiful time. And this boat is, you know, we are enjoying in the boat. But what is actually happening? The boat is taking us towards the spiritual world. And a time will come when we have to step out of the boat. And we'll be on the other side of the material nature. When will that time come? When will that time come? When we'll get out of the boat? Yes, Radharani? At the time of death. So is death something very dangerous? Something very frightening? Rather we wait, let it come. That will be our gateway to the spiritual sky. And what we have to do is simply have to remember Krishna, we have to take shelter of Krishna. If we can leave the body, if we can die, remembering Krishna means depending upon Krishna. At the time of death, we simply have to offer prayers to Krishna. Krishna, now please allow me to truly surrender myself unto you. All this while I was simply trying to surrender to you. Now the time has come for me to really surrender unto you. Now besides you there is no hope, there is no recourse. And then what will happen? We'll see at the time of death. What will happen? We will see. But one possibility I can speak about. At that time, if we see that Krishna is standing in front of us, how will you feel? Will you feel pain or will you feel happiness? That is why a devotee, you will notice, leaves his body with a smile in his face. You look at a devotee's body, it looks like he's smiling. Why? Because he saw the most beautiful personality. Because he found the most beautiful shelter. And that's why now he's smiling. Oh Krishna, finally I got to see you. And then Krishna takes him back to the spiritual sky. So now tell me, will you want to remain a stupid mudha, or you want to become a bhakta? You have two conditions. You have two options. You can either be a mudha or you can be a bhakta. So better to be a bhakta. Mamta, what will you be? Very good. Thank you. Does everybody agree with Mamta?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So Mamta is guiding us now. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Monica? Yeah. As it is means what?
I
read
that it is
in the form of a jyoti. Yeah. There will be jyoti, but the jyoti will be coming out of something. Right? Jyoti has to have a source. What will be that source? That source will be, yes, that source is God. And you also will have jyoti there. That will be your jyoti. There'll be, if there is some jyoti, if you become a jyoti, you don't become a jyoti, the jyoti comes out of you. And who is that you? You is the devotee of Krishna. Right? And there also you'll have a form. If you don't have a form, how will you serve Krishna? Can the jyoti serve Krishna? Can light serve Krishna? No. In order to serve, you need your hands. Right? You need your body. So you'll have a body. But that body will be spiritual body. When one renders devotional service, one develops a spiritual body. And with that body he serves Krishna in the spiritual sky. Yes, Shraddha?
Because if the soul is Satchitananda, he is always in happiness. So how can how soul wants to enjoy separate from Krishna? Means how soul can ask to Krishna that I want to enjoy separately? Because soul is Satchitananda.
Yeah. That is when that happens, when he becomes envious of Krishna. Like for example, a poor man has a rich friend. And the rich friend invites him to his house, to his palace. And actually it is the generosity of the rich man that he invited that poor man to his house. But when the poor man goes to his house, he begins to think, why does he have such a nice palace? Why not me? Why does he have so many facilities? Right? So then he may want to enjoy like him, without him. because of envy. So similarly, when you become envious of Krishna, then Krishna says, okay, go. I'll create a nice house for you. You'll also have a beautiful palace and everything, but it'll all be illusory. It won't be real. So if it's not real, can you enjoy it? Don't you see some fruits made of plastic nowadays? It looks like real apple. Now if you're very hungry and if you go right, will it satisfy your hunger? Or in a reflection, you see that there is some beautiful, delicious food. In the reflection, from the reflection, can you get the food? Similarly, this material nature is like that, illusory. It's not there. It appears to be there, but it's not there. We're trying to get that, but we can't get it. Therefore, what should be an intelligent proposal? Make a about turn, right? And go to the other direction. Therefore, we have to turn our face from the material towards spiritual. And how you do that?
By serving Krishna's sense, other than by serving our own sense.
Very good. Very good. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shevanam Bhakti Ruchate. By serving Krishna, the Lord of the senses, with our senses. Very good. Yes?
Кришна может прийти за чистым
преданным.
Но чистый преданный тот, который не имеет ни одного материального желания. Потому что если во время смерти у тебя есть материальное желание, или остается
неудовлетворенность,
то Кришна тебе не
придет.
So don't keep any material desire.
But
anyway, if a person has some material wishes and in the time of death, then he should have some more life?
Yes.
Yes.
If you have any material desire, if one has a material desire at the time of death, he'll have to come. You see, easy and difficult is a relative term. If you can do something, it's easy. If you can't do it, it's difficult. Can you swim? Can you swim? Yes. Is it easy to swim? Yes. But a person who doesn't know how to swim, throw him in the water and ask him. Can you ride a bike? Bicycle? Okay. Is it difficult? Right? Well, who knows how to ride a bike? Okay. Is it easy or difficult? It's easy. You just got into the bike and automatically it happens. Effortlessly you can ride. So now you are actually learning, we are all learning, how not to think of anything else but Krishna. We are simply trying to think about Krishna, serve Krishna. Our whole consciousness is filled with Krishna. If our consciousness becomes filled with Krishna, then yes, at the time of death, it will be easy to remember Krishna.
Один раз Нирджана с вами Махарадж говорил в своей лекции, чем как бы твое положение выше, как духовное положение, тем более сильнее испытывает тебя Кришна. Нирджана
с вами says once in the class that if you have some high spiritual position, then you will trouble in your life.
If you have high spiritual position,
then you will have more like more problems, you will be more checked.
Там, то есть, тестирует Кришна еще сильнее, еще сильнее, еще сильнее. И какой-то тест ты можешь не выдержать.
Some tests you may not pass.
Well, it will all depend. Maharaj is simply warning you to become serious. Maharaj is a high position and he is completely detached. Right? So, devotees, they know how to look at everything with Krishna in the center. And by doing that, they always remember Krishna. Okay. Last question.
Просто я по своему опыту говорю, что Кришна иногда дает испытание и смотрит, как ты будешь его помнить в самый тяжелый момент жизни, потому что тело тоже нам не принадлежит, и иногда оно просто не слушается тебя.
Sometimes Krishna gives very strong test and like body is not belong to us and sometimes it's very difficult to pass this test.
И когда у тебя много радости, Кришну не лично легче помнить, но когда у тебя боли больше, чем радости, это очень сложно.
And when you have happiness, it's very easy to believe that Krishna near you and he like individually you always remember him when you have a lot of happiness. But when you have a lot of pain, a lot of troubles, then it's very difficult to remember him.
Yeah. But when you come to a situation when there is nothing you can do, what will you do? Say for example, when you get pain, you go to take some medicine. If that medicine doesn't work, you go to a doctor. Right? And if you go to a doctor, that doesn't work, you go to some bigger doctor. Right? So finally when there is nothing, no one to go to, who will you go to? Right? So at the time of death, that's what will happen. No hospital can do anything, nothing can help. Then you're forced to remember Krishna. Krishna, you are the only hope. Right? Therefore, it's better to always depend on Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi.